Portions of this program are pre-recorded.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots going on. Lots to get to. Appreciate you choosing the Joe Pags Show today on your Thursday. I'm feeling all right. Say what? Carrie, how's it going?
Seems great. I got to have a
Chocolate Boy's getting it done. Got the hair up. We're not mad at that.
Every night
got a special shirt going that we'll talk about in a minute. Follow along for the ride as well. Sam getting it done.
It could have been.
If you're new to the program, Thursday is almost Friday. That means the weekend is almost here. So what we do is we feel all right. Although the song really is about the guy not feeling all right. But we like to sing. Let's go. Well, I do. Nobody else will do it for the people. Come on.
Took the key.
Feeling all right. I'm not feeling too good myself.
No.
Bring it down. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Feeling all right.
A little harmony for you.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
It's like goodbye, boy, you know what I mean? It's not really words there.
Yeah. You don't have to sing
people
next hour.
Enjoy it.
It's okay.
You know, what's that? I couldn't hear you.
I said, you don't have to sing it next hour.
It sounded like you said get rid of Bon Jovi on Wednesdays. I can't.
No, I never said that. I never said that. No.
Couldn't make it out. All right. I appreciate you stopping by. Appreciate you getting it done. We've got Coach Gary Waters on. He is the winningest coach ever in Cleveland State history. Former basketball coach. He's got a book out now. And it's one of those interviews. I didn't know Coach Waters. And one of the, they send talking points that I normally ignore. But I don't have time to read every book, Carrie, that they send. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you read any books that they send you? I'm going to say no. How do you know the answer to that?
I'm thinking, have I read a book?
Ever.
The book, I read a book 2 weeks ago. First time in many, many years. Read it online. It was Elvis, What Happened? And it was written by his former Memphis Mafia guys.
Oh, well, that sounds interesting.
So I did read that one, start to finish. Read that one completely through. Didn't really gain anything out of it, but it was one of the... I'm an autobiographical guy, if that makes sense. I don't like fiction. I like nonfiction. I like real stories that I can really learn from. I can really find out somebody's life. I can really learn how that thing was made. I'm sort of that guy. I'm not a guy like you, bottle of wine and like a novel. I get it. I totally
sounds
see
pretty good,
you
but
that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it.
Total,
you know,
fiction. Yeah. I like fiction.
But yeah, I'm not a fiction person. I'm not. But I do like, you know, science fiction or fiction movies. I have no problem with that. But to sit down and read a fiction book, I'm not really gaining anything other than knowing what was in the book, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, okay. I'm not a real book guy. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I didn't read the book because I don't have time. I interview authors almost every day, and I'd be doing nothing but reading books. And they send you talking points, and one of the first talking points was systemic racism. And I'm like, come on. So it's an interesting interview. He's a really good guy. We had a great discussion about what he's trying to help young athletes, trying to help the community. He's talking to police. So he's working on getting things better in the country, which is such a benefit. So you'll like that one in the second hour. Hour three will be campus reform, as we normally do on a Thursday. So make sure you stick around for that as well. I want to start with the fact that it's my sister Monica's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Isn't that something? She's, wow, really up there.
Don't say her age. I'm friends with her on Facebook.
Saying,
I saw that, but yeah, don't say her age.
You're saying don't say her age?
No, don't. Do not.
I can't say that she's 29?
Oh, well, you can say that. Yeah. Aren't we all 29?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I am.
No,
I am.
You're not. Mentality oh, you're very far from 29. 59, yes. 29,
but I did not realize that Jen Psaki knew that it was Monica's birthday. I did not know this. Did you know that Jen Psaki knew this?
Did not, no.
So, you know, I called up Jaya. I call her JS. Even though it's actually JP because Psaki starts with a P.
Yeah.
So, but it sounds like us. So I called JP, got a hold of her, and I said, hey, you got a little something for Monica's birthday? And because I wondered, because they used to be tight, but then, oh, I'm the press secretary now. You know, it gets all weird.
Yeah.
You know, it gets weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, she sent this over, which I thought was great.
It may be. It may be. Who's with me? Someone here has a good voice. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
What?
Happy birthday, dear Steve.
Oh, well, it's Monica.
Happy birthday.
Carrie, am I wrong when I say she probably should never, ever have tried that?
Wow. Hey,
now, you complain about my singing. Can you tell the people how great I sing
talk.
Now compared to that?
I'm not one to talk, but you probably do a little better job than that. But.
Come on, dude. What was she thinking? Happy birthday to you. So happy birthday, Monica. It's a happy birthday. It's funny because when she turned 14, I said, this makes you officially. And then I said a word that I can't say on the radio. And she asked me today, am I still? I said, yes. As soon as you turn 14, you become that person.
And you stay that way.
Exactly. You just never change. But Jen Psaki, hey, college try. How bad was that? I mean, but that's
bad.
A really confident individual to sound that bad. And
right
still
now,
bring
in front
it,
of
like,
the
happy
national
birthday
press.
Happy birthday to you. Does she not know the tune? It's not that hard,
I think
is it?
She does. I can imagine. Probably does.
So that for you, which is interesting, Jen Psaki, that was crazy. and now you're wearing. You posted a picture a little while ago. It was a great picture, and I feel stupid because I didn't know this about Ryan's child. Ryan is a great listener of ours, and maybe you can give some more information on it. But if you don't mind,
yeah.
For the people who are watching, let's show the shirt off.
Yeah, can you see it?
I can. You have to stand up, probably. It says Walter. I can't see what's on the bottom because I've got. Hold on, I can get rid of the thing. Hold on. Now, let me get rid of the thing. Boom. All Walter right. the Warrior.
Yes.
Fill us in. What is that all about?
Yeah. Well, and as you know, Ryan and Amber, his wife, and they listen to the show when they can and are fans. And they have this beautiful, sweet, young family. And their baby, Walter, several months ago was diagnosed with a very large brain tumor. And they have made a Facebook page and they show him off and all these really cute pictures and let people know what's going on with Walter and the updates. And it's a lot of hospitalizations and it's chemotherapy and they were selling shirts. So I bought a shirt and I wanted to wear it. And not that you guys have to buy one, but anyway, it's Walter the Warrior Baby. It's a Facebook page and you can go there and maybe just send him some positive thoughts and vibes because they're going through a really, really, really hard time right now. And I think they would appreciate the love.
They're definitely going to get it. I'm praying for them. I feel like an idiot because I didn't know about it until I saw you in the shirt. And Ryan has been, I know that Ryan has been, and I'm assuming his wife, they've been fans of the show for years, literally years. And and we actually are connected personally on the Facebook. I don't know. I think he was around for so long that he was somebody that I was connected to on the old Facebook before we had to go to the page because we grew so much. And just a really nice guy, always been very complimentary, always very, very cool to us and hugely supportive of the program. So I'm glad that you wore the shirt. I'm glad that you explained it. And again, it's Walter the Warrior, if people want to just look it up on Facebook.
Right. Walter the Warrior Baby. Yeah, on Facebook. Yep.
How old is this child?
Oh, I should know this. He's probably close to a year old, if not a year old already.
God bless him.
Such
God
a cute,
him,
I mean, just this family, it's a beautiful family, and this baby is beyond adorable, but what he's having to go through right now and his parents is unimaginable.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up and thank you for wearing the shirt and showing some support and listen, we're with your entire family, Ryan. I appreciate you guys. All right. There is a lot going on that I want to get to and I'd never heard of a person named Randy Weingarten in my life. Had you ever heard of this person, Carrie? Do you know what I'm going to go here?
I don't know.
She is the leader of a union called the AFT, which is the American Federation of Teachers. And again, her name is Randy Weingarten. I've never, ever heard of her before, but I saw this piece of video this morning as I was watching. I actually popped Newsmax on this morning. And I'm looking at this going, what am I looking at here? Here is somebody who is reading off of a teleprompter at some sort of a union gathering, and she is pulling an Obama. Now, when I say she's pulling an Obama, she's pulling an Obama. She's pulling a Biden. She's pulling a Julian Castro. She's pulling a Beto. Although Beto O'Rourke is not as good at it as the others are because he gets those arms flailing. You know what I mean, Carrie? He gets those arms going. Forget it.
He does. Yeah. Done. He gets a little animated. Yeah.
Yeah, he gets a little flailing those arms. He's fake Mexican. He's the fourth generation Irishman, but he calls himself Beto. Beto. O'Rourke. Robert Francis. Beto O'Rourke. So they all try to do this, and Obama, I think, is the best at it. Biden is scary because Biden will just forget that he's supposed to only whisper like a word. I wrote the bill. You know, he does that whole thing. You know what I mean? I mean, he forgets it's only supposed to be for like, it's supposed to be, I wrote the bill. It's supposed to be only like the bill should have been. I wrote the bill.
The whole thing.
I had Cheerios this morning. What? You psycho. What is that? So, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't know when to stop, but Obama's great at it. And Julian Castro, I'll give him credit. He's gotten very good at it, too. And O'Rourke's just horrible at it. But Randy Weingarten has gone to the same study group in the same study class on how to be an overactor and how to overemphasize some words and act the fool. Now, she and her organization and other teachers' unions, this is not about teachers. I love teachers. This is about teachers' unions have been under criticism. Rightfully so, because they're pushing critical race theory. What she's about to say here is a lie, because in Portland, I believe it was Portland, might have been Seattle, the teachers were told, either you teach critical race theory or you don't come back to work, you have no job. We did that story. That's truth. And whole states have had to outlaw CRT just to make sure that it wouldn't be taught in class. Well, here's what this person I never heard of before has to say about it. And look at how she emphasizes words and as she's throwing the full, like, I don't know who teaches this class, this, you know, speak like a maniac class. I don't know who it is that does this, but so many people on the far left are using it today.
Everyone who wants American democracy to endure, don't thwart this process. Let's discover the truth. Which brings me to another attempt.
Next to that noise, that was weird.
To suppress the truth. The new culture campaign, some lawmakers and Fox News are using to distort history, limit learning, and stoke fears about our public schools.
Let me just interject this for those who can't see it. I'm showing this on the screen as well. If you want to see it, joepags.com. And click on the live video stream. But those who can't see it, let me just fill you in. The first part of it, she was like jumping up and down almost and flailing her hands about and making the eyeballs. She's reading the teleprompter. Now they're showing a bunch of like headlines in from outlets that are criticizing critical race theory. And now because she's not seen, listen to the change of the tone in her voice. This is a complete act.
Let's be clear.
Now she's back on camera.
Critical race theory is not taught in elementary schools or middle schools or high schools.
She's lying. That's a lie. That is a patently false statement, what she just said.
It's a method of examination taught in law school and in college that helps analyze whether systemic racism exists, and in particular, whether it has an effect on law and public policy.
She's a liar. What she's saying is a false statement. It's a lie. It's taught in school, and there's a push to teach it more in school. And the far left progressive cities like Portland and Seattle and others, they are threatening teachers if they don't teach it.
But culture warriors are labeling any discussion of race, racism, or discrimination, SCRT, to try to make it toxic.
Do you see the extreme slow pattern of speech there? Do you see the huge pauses for emphasis? And now she's also making faces like, can you believe it?
They are bullying teachers and trying to stop us from teaching students accurate history. But you, the professionals in the classroom,
I got to stop it here because now they go from a wide shot of her back to a close-up shot of her. Now that she knows she's on the close-up, she throws her hands in the air again and starts really almost like getting on the balls of her feet to really push this narrative.
Just like you do the formative assessments, just like you're trying to do everything you can to engage kids.
She's going to cry.
Just like you've tried to keep kids safe. And engaged. In this last 16 months, you, the professionals in the classroom, you, the people who use your expertise to help our students succeed, you know better.
She's jumping in her shoes.
We teach history, not hate.
lie.
Because no matter our color, our background, or our zip code, we want our kids to have an education that imparts honesty about who we are, integrity about how we treat others, and courage to do what's right.
I mean, it's about who we are. She was jumping in her shoes. She was slow pausing, knew she was on. She would really start flailing the arms. And one thing that really jumped out at me is that she couldn't take her eyeballs off the prompter. Obama is probably the best teleprompter reader we have in this country. She could not look away from the teleprompter, which, of course, made me realize that all of this was staged. All of this was acted. All of this was BS. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Do you buy what she said? Or is she part of the systemic problem when unions take over something that should be good for all? Keep it here. Coming back.
Joe Pags.
I appreciate you stopping by. Thanks a lot for taking the time. It is the Joe Pags Show. So there was the act. That was the act by this person, Randy Weingarten, I'd never heard of before. And understand that we talk about critical race theory as much as we do in our society because it's real, and they're pushing it on our kids. And let me just, in a very, very simple way, again, say this. Critical race theory is the idea that white people created the mechanism that even is called race. They created the theory, if you will, that is race. And they only did it so they could oppress everybody other than themselves. That's what critical race theory is. What she said it is in law school and everything else is not true. And she said that it is not being taught. That's also a lie. This is as honest as the left saying the right or Republicans are the one that want to defund police. That's how dishonest what she had to say was. But you can now take it to the bank that every speech from every vast leftist like her is going to include something like, it's not who we are. She wasn't good enough to say, it's not who we are, like you're supposed to say. Biden would have said, it's not who we are. I might get in trouble if I keep talking. Karen, do you think that he got in trouble just for doing that so much?
Maybe.
He probably did. I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd never heard of her before, but what she said about critical race theory is simply not true, and I definitely want your thoughts on it, because, I mean, do you believe her? It's a simple question, or do you not believe her, know that she's lying, and then you have to realize that Joe Biden himself, the president, supports this lady, supports this organization. That's a problem. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Got to remind you, the big media, they're ignoring President Trump's big speeches, and now Newsmax is the only major cable network carrying Trump rallies, and they do it live. This coming Sunday, President Trump is going to be speaking at CPAC. Newsmax is going to air it live. Watch it and see great weekend shows on Newsmax with Dick Morris, Sebastian Gorka, Greg Kelly, Mike Huckabee, and many more. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems, including DirecTV, Dish, Xfinity, Cox, CenturyLink, UVerse, Suddenlink, Fios, Mediacom, WOW, and many more. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them, demand you get Newsmax, or you'll switch. And download the free Newsmax app right now on your phone. Watch it anytime, anywhere. I watch Newsmax all the time. I love it. I mentioned earlier, got up, was watching some this morning. Check them out. Finally, make sure you sign up for Newsmax's Trump list and get the time for Trump's Sunday CPAC speech with breaking news as well when you go to Remind and you text that to 39747. Again, text the word Remind to 39747. Join now. Trump's big announcement is coming soon, so text Remind to 39747 and watch Newsmax right now. All right, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Going to take phone calls, so stay on the line. I don't want you to hang up because we're going to hit a hard break here in a second. But let me throw this into the mix as well. There's an argument now where it was suggested either by Tucker Carlson or Matt Walsh or somebody that we start putting cameras in the classrooms, and the teachers' unions are freaking out about that as well. Why exactly is that controversial? Why is that bad? Why would that be a bad thing? We'll talk about that when we come back as well. 888-941-PAGS. Go to the website, joepags.com, right now.
Joe Pags.
Hey, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It's the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. See, here's a teachers union leader lying boldly, saying that we aren't teaching critical race theory in schools. Not in elementary school, not in middle school, not in high school. This is some postgraduate law school thing. And Fox News and those who are political persuasion, certain political persuasion, are pushing a false narrative. Carrie, you're a news anchor, so I'm asking you as a journalist, is she telling the truth that it is not being taught in any schools in this country, no public schools?
No, she is not telling the truth.
There are stories after stories that you've covered, that I've covered, that we've put on this radio show. Can you do me a favor, please, and look into your resources and see if it's Portland or Seattle literally said you will not be a teacher if you won't teach critical race theory?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember which one it was. It was last week sometime, maybe the week before. But I feel like it was Portland or Seattle, and I feel like it probably was Portland. But, I mean, to say that it's not happening, and you're somebody who's part of a teachers union that has a massive amount of sway and leverage on teachers, that's a problem. Anything popping up?
It is Portland. Yeah.
Would you mind reading that story? Because this proves her a liar, right?
Yeah. Hold on. It's coming up. This is from the Daily Mail. An Oregon middle school teacher was exposed by furious parents after likening her colleagues to pedophiles and warning them they'd be fired if they refused to teach critical race theory. Catherine Watkins, an eighth grade humanities teacher at Cedar Park Middle School in Beaverton, Portland, told colleagues during a Zoom equity conference if they were going to keep up those old views of colonialism, it's going to lead to being fired. A Watkins, who says she was half African American in a 2020 interview, also equated teachers who do racist things with pedophiles during an inflammatory statement her colleagues were forced to listen to. And she said, if you're not evolving into an anti-racist educator, you're making yourself obsolete in this field of profession. Our district's only getting browner and browner with our children, and so obviously you can't change your melanin, all right? But you can change your mind so that you can actually function in a district that is full of BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, People of Color children.
I mean, so here's the lady who's running a teachers union, looking at the camera and reading off the teleprompter as she jumps out of her shoes. By the way, this is what I did for you during the break. Those of you who are listening on the radio and you want to see that video, because again, her tone of voice did not sound exactly like the Obama, but you'll see how she changes her act when she thinks she's off camera, when she thinks she's on camera, when she's on a full single shot, and now she's jumping out of her shoes and she's just lying boldly reading the teleprompter. I moved that video to the featured video on my website. Go right now to joepags.com, or when you get home, and it's simple to remember, and no, Pags doesn't have two G's. It's short for Pagliarulo, and there's only one G in my last name. joepags.com, joepags.com, and then you'll just see the featured video right there at the top of the page. Click on it, watch this video. You'll see it's about 2 minutes and I think it's exactly 2 minutes and 17 seconds long. Go and watch this video. You'll see what she says, and you tell me if this woman's telling the truth, knowing what Carrie just read in that news story that I knew that we covered a couple of weeks ago. So for me, you've got a situation where you've got teachers unions that are somehow reliant or somehow pushing the narrative that we're not doing what we know we're doing. You know what I mean? They're saying we're not doing what you know we're doing and we know we're doing, but if we say we're not doing it, you can't call us out or else racist. Or else slavery, or else something. There's something else going on if you won't just take it from them. They're not teaching it. Just like take it from us, the Republicans want to defund police, which is stupid. So at the end of the day, what you have a situation where we must call them out. And I think the best way to call people out who lie is to shine a light. So she's lying. Let's shine a light. Now, teachers in public schools are paid by taxpayers. By the way, Carrie, I've got this one guy who's a troll, who's a teacher, who keeps on writing me on email that every time I talk about teachers, it's negative. Now, you've worked with me for 14 plus years now. Sorry to remind you. But it'll actually be 14 years in the beginning of August. And you've heard me talk about teaching a lot. Do I not always say the vast majority of teachers are great and it's a thankless job, they do an amazing job? Do I not say that?
Every time. pretty much.
And then I talk about a couple of the bad eggs. And then I talk about some of the bad faculty members, some of the bad, you know, those who are in the administration at schools or on school boards or in school districts. I talk about the hierarchy that is pushing. And there are very good ones, too, who are superintendents. You know, we've got a great one in Comal County, Texas. But having said that, you've got a situation where teachers are being forced by these unions, by these school boards, by these school districts to do things that I think otherwise they wouldn't do. It is a thankless job, and they do a great job. Now, if the guy is going to write me again tonight, just understand, dude, I sent you to junk. So if you write me, it's going to go straight to junk because your complaints, I keep on just responding with call the show, and you never do. That's too bad. That just shows a cowardice on your end. Having said all of that, you've got a situation where teachers are getting paid by the taxpayers. Money is taken out of my property taxes. I am forced to pay property taxes or else I lose my property. So I don't really own the property. I'm like renting it from the district or something that will go and pay teachers and build schools and so on and so forth. The idea that I can't see what it is that you're doing with my money is stupid. Stupid! And it's actually backward. It's the only service or product I can pay for that I'm not allowed to see the quality of it. It's so weird to me. Why can't I go and watch exactly what it is you're teaching my kids? Why can't I? Why can't I go and have you show me the arithmetic, the writing, the reading, the social studies, everything? Why can't you show me what you're teaching my kid? Why is that an issue? It shouldn't be, but if it's going to be an issue, I need to know why. I need to know why it is that my tax dollar is going to continue to go to you, support you, and I have no recourse. So we just found out that we can learn over the internet. We just found that out. Clearly, we found out we can learn over the internet. We found out that we can do the teacher in front of a camera teaching lessons. So why can't we have an inexpensive webcam in every room? What's the issue? Why can't I tune in and watch my child through the day? A, it's going to make my child act better. The discipline's going to go through the roof. My kid's not going to act out in front of me. Not with me as a dad. That ain't going to happen. And B, it allows me to see what my money's paying for. And the only real response that we've ever gotten about this, the only real response is some sort of privacy issue. It's a public school. There shouldn't be any privacy issue when it comes to the taxpayers who pay the bill, seeing what the product is, watching what the service is. It would be like saying cops shouldn't have body cam because of a privacy issue. And the interesting thing is, Carrie, correct me if I'm wrong, the left wants all cops to have body cams.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But they don't want us to see what's going on in the classroom. That's not okay. It's simply not okay. It boggles my mind, to be honest with you. So your thoughts on that as well. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Cameras in the classroom? I mean, what do you think, camera? I think it's simple. Carrie, as a parent, not as a journalist, cameras in the classroom would be kind of neat to see, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I like to see my kids, see what they're doing.
I mean, I don't see why that would be an issue, to be honest with you. Let me go to the phone lines, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Toledo, Sandra, what's going on? Hi.
Hi, thank you for all you do and everyone on your show.
You're welcome.
God bless you for it.
Thank you.
I'm a mom, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother.
Wow.
And I'm here to see, I'm there. I see what's happening. I'm a witness. And as good Lord is my witness, I am. Here's what's going on. Kids that are 16 and even 4th are dropping out, and these are 4.0, 3.5 students. They're dropping out because they're tired of being abused. And they're all white people. Once in a while, you find a black person, and they'll be, you know, join in, but that's very few. It's mostly whites abusing whites and calling them filthy racists and pushing them and shoving, smacking them around and abusing them. And the teachers, when they go back to the class, the teachers, they don't want the cameras there because the teachers call, yes, little racist. And that's what they're saying to them. The kids are not convinced they're racists. And they happen to be white, and biracial, as well as black. They're calling racist. Oh, you're Uncle Tam racist. And they call them terribly. That's why they do not want those cameras in there. I guarantee you, I wish somebody would listen, but there's no one to listen. These kids, they have no choice but to drop out, or they're going to physically, mentally, and psychologically lose it.
Well, a lot of us are listening, Sandra, and I appreciate your perspective. Thank you. A lot of us are listening. That's why I'm talking about it. There, I would like to hear a valid argument against having cameras in public school classes. I don't understand why the classroom would be off limits. It's a public school. There's nothing going on there that's private. I'm not sure I get it. How exactly is that private? And if you're worried about the privacy, then make sure that there's a code that's used where I can follow, you know, my daughter Gia go through her class. You know, I'm only allowed to watch those classes. I can't watch the classes where my kid isn't. I mean, maybe just personalize it that way. Or it should be open to anybody who's a property taxpayer in that district, because they're the ones that are funding and financing it. That would be even more appropriate. What's the argument? And somebody in my channel said something about pedophiles watching or something. What? Really? I mean, these aren't, you know, children walking around naked or something. They're fully clothed. They're going to school. They're going to class. And we have the right to see what the product is. What does that have to do with people being pedophiles? I don't understand. That was actually an odd answer, to be honest with you. And I love you for trying to think outside of the box, but I can't think of one reason why anybody would, or any educator would say, no, you can't watch me educate. Hell, I like people watching me do my job. I like proving that the job is good enough that you should listen to my show, or you should pick up my show on a radio station or watch it on the screen. I like that. Why wouldn't a teacher say, hey, I'm a good enough teacher that, hell yeah, you could watch me teach. You're darn right. In fact, mom and dad, if you're engaged, you'll know more often when little Bobby has homework, and you'll know more often when he's acting out in class, and you'll see proof of it. I think this covers a lot of bases, just like the body cams cover bases for cops. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pag Show.
Great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It is the Joe Pag Show. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Cameras in the classroom seems to be normal to me. In this day and age, you have the ability. Why wouldn't you put a camera in the classroom? I don't understand why it's controversial, to be honest with you. We often say that body cams on police protect those in the public when the police act out. Why do you think cops really want them, though? Because it also protects them. And I would think that teachers, if you question them anonymously, if you didn't ask them for their opinion where we would know who said it and why they said it, I think that by and large, they would want cameras in the classroom. It proves their worth. It proves that they're doing it right. It proves that they are good teachers and we could trust them with our kids 9 hours a day. It only makes sense. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Again, if you want to see that AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, leader Randy Weingarten, you want to see her acting out and reading the teleprompter, go to joepags.com. It's the video that's featured right there on the page. Let me tell you about universal coin and bullion. Federal Reserve is printing money like crazy, and that's never really a good sign because that means that the paper money you have is worth less. Universal Coin and Bullion, a leader in the precious metals industry, is your answer to finding gold and silver at reasonable prices. The company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, was voted 2021 Dealer of the Year by his peers. He searched the country to find the precious metals you need during this trying time. UCB has authentic silver and gold in stock now. In fact, popular silver flag bars, pure silver rounds celebrating the Second Amendment, the anniversary 9/11 silver rounds honoring former President Donald Trump are all available. I have them all, and they're awesome. Give my friends at Universal Coin and Bullion a call at 1-800-UCB-GOLD and talk to their experienced sales team to buy high-quality silver or gold and protect yourself and your family against the coming inflationary crisis. Universal Coin cares about your financial health, so call them right now. UCB is 1-800-UCB-GOLD. 1-800-UCB-GOLD to buy gold and silver today. 1-800-UCB-GOLD. Right now. Back to the phone lines. I appreciate you, Patrick. What's happening in Minnesota? Hi.
Hey, Joe. Good to hear from you, man.
Good to have you on. What's happening?
Well, as far as the cameras go in the classrooms, you know, I got a child in school, and he's a special needs student. I mean, I appreciate the teachers, but he's had some hard days in class there, and I wish I would have been able to see what had gone on in the school, you know, because I'm always curious. I wanted to sit in school classrooms before, but they won't allow it. So I think it's a good idea for the parents to get an idea of what's going on with their children when they're in school.
By the way, Patrick, if you want to sit in the classroom for at a school that you're paying for where your kid goes, you should be able to. Go ahead.
As far as the pedophiles, I don't understand that neither, but I think they can set them cameras up to a point where only the parents can have a password to watch, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not just public viewing.
I got you, brother. No, Pat, I hear you, but I don't think there's a problem with public viewing. And the number of pedophiles is minuscule compared to the actual population, and people should have access. They should have access. I don't know how that somehow gives a pedophile the benefit. It's very strange. Corey, Toledo, come on.
You know, from listening to your program, it seems like you're anti-CRT.
I am anti-CRT. I am.
And I guess the problem with you.
Well, I'm going to put you back on hold. Your phone got really cheesy and it sounds very electronic. It's cutting in and out. I'm sorry. Sam, maybe check with Corey and see if we can't fix that. Let me go to Bruce in Minneapolis. Bruce, talk to me.
Hey, Joe, appreciate talking to you.
Thanks, man.
So more so than video or camera, I want audio. I don't care if I see what's going on. I want to hear what's going on. If privacy and protection of that is with the video, all I need to do is I just want to hear what's going on in the classrooms.
Well, I actually assumed that with a webcam it would be audio and video. That's why I meant audio and video. Yes.
Okay. And then if the argument is, you know, we can't be showing these kids, and I can see some validity to that, then fine. Let's not. I just want to hear what's going on in the classroom. I don't need to necessarily see it.
Bruce, I got you. I hear you. The taxpayers are paying for it. If we could have a courtroom camera, and most places do now in this day and age, if we could all have body cams, most of them do in this day and age, there really is no privacy issue when you're talking about a public school, a public courthouse, the public, you know, highway or the public street when a cop is having a confrontation with somebody. I don't think it's a privacy issue. We're not talking about turning on cameras in private clubs and not even in private schools. Talking about schools that are funded and financed by tax dollars, we should have the right to see what's going on. The cameras should be on school buses, too. Some of them have them, some of them don't. I don't know why that's so hard. Technology being what it is today, what's wrong with that? And I haven't heard one valid argument why it would be a bad thing. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Much more to come. Keep it right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hi, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. There's a lot going on, lots to get to. Bottom of the hour is going to be Coach Gary Waters. He is a former head coach at several universities for their basketball teams. The winningest coach ever at Cleveland State. And he's written a book about how young people need to go into life with a perspective that can make them successful. And that even goes into the police versus the community arguments. And he's a guy who wants to bridge the gap. He'll talk to both sides and try to bring them together. Very interesting conversation, that's for sure. Make sure you stick around for that on a Thursday. I'm feeling all right. Uh-huh. Say what?
Seems I got
Carrie, how you doing?
All right.
You're all right. That's for sure. You are. Darn right. Polo's here. Sam getting her done.
Imprisoned by the way.
Yes. Thursday, could almost Friday. This is what we do. This is the Huey Lewis version
on my own
of the
so it
Joe Cocker arrangement, the Dave Mason classic. Feeling all right. Stop. Weekend's almost here. We are feeling all right. Turn it up and sing along.
Someone locked the door and took the key.
You're feeling all right.
Wow. Protein bar.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
You know, I like the harmony.
Yes, sir.
You're feeling all right.
Uh-huh.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
There you go. It's how we do. It's how we get her done. Chocolate voice, you good today?
I am.
There's even more love for you on the Twitters today. What was that thing on the Twitters today? Something
about
it was great to hear Sarah Carter.
Oh. Yeah. It was kind of funny. Yeah, because
we love our Carrie.
Yeah, she's from Alaska. And I guess she said Sarah Boo and Carrie Boo. Get it? Caribou.
And then she said Caribou. Get it?
Yeah.
Alaska humor is so funny, isn't it?
It is. Well, yes.
That's quality Alaska humor.
Absolutely.
So you good today?
I am. I'm getting it
Make
done.
It happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I'm going through some of this news stuff. You got Rashida Tlaib saying something stupid again or something anti-American again, which is stupid and also at the same time not funny. So we'll have that for you in a minute. But I wanted to get into this Boris Becker thing because this actually, it begs an interesting question. Oh, before I even go there, do you see how tall Barron Trump is now?
I saw that picture. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He towers over his mom.
He just went from 14 to 15 years old.
I know.
Melania Trump is 5'11".
Eight? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Donald Trump is 6'3". Barron just turned 15. He's 6'7".
Wow.
The kid's going to be 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
The question is, do you get him playing some basketball now? Mm. And he's filling out. He looks like a gigantic man.
He does in that picture I saw today. He sure does.
I mean, go back and look at the picture of Trump's acceptance speech when he won the election in 2016. Barron's this little short kid.
Growth spurt. Lots of growth
Holy
spurts.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's kind of amazing. I mean, Eric was the tallest at 6'5". I think that Trump, the father, actually exaggerates that to 6'6", but I mean, come on. This kid has got to be an absolute monster. He's like 7'8".
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna be very, you imagine he's like 8 feet tall. How mad would the left be if
tall,
a Trump became that tall?
They'd be enraged, I'm sure, about something.
They would be.
Yeah.
You can't draft him to the NBA. Racist! Mm-hmm. It'd be all of that. So that was very interesting to see. Now, Boris Becker, for those who don't know, and it was interesting because The young man that I interview for Campus Reform for next hour he'd never heard of Ebonics. So there's going to be a cultural gap and an age gap, to be honest with you, a generation gap when it comes to some of these things. Like, you automatically know who Boris Becker is, right?
Yes.
Paul, do you automatically know who that is?
Yes.
Sam, do you know who that is?
No.
I mean, you see what I mean, Carrie?
Well, yeah.
Nothing wrong with Sam, because if I say, well, Sam, why not? She'll say, who raised me? Watch. Hey, Sam, why not?
Well, who raised me?
Oh, okay, thanks. Good acting. That was pretty good. Yeah, we had no idea. Boris Becker was a young redhead from Germany. Carrie, I got to think it was in the late 80s, maybe early 90s, something like that.
I'm going to say early 90s, I think.
So he showed up on the scene and started kicking everybody's ass at Wimbledon and everything in tennis. Just started winning everything. Now, he is a commentator on tennis matches. And they're showing, I don't know whose wife, whose girlfriend it was. I don't know. Who's the guy from South America? One of the top players. Nadal. So I believe that it was Nadal's girlfriend who's in the stands. And they say, oh, you need a supportive, you know, partner, and this is wonderful. And she's very, very pretty. Now, I just gave it away. Do me a favor. Give me the entire story.
Okay.
Because they're trying to cancel the guy for saying that somebody was pretty. Go ahead.
And my apologies because some of these last names, I do not know.
Look, do it right. It's your job.
I'm going to try. Okay. From the Blaze, tennis legend Boris Becker stands accused of objectification of women after calling a player's fiance very pretty during his BBC commentary on a Wimbledon quarterfinals match Wednesday. During the contest in which top-seeded Novak Djokovic beat 48th-ranked Martin Fuchs. Beat 48th-ranked Martin Fuchsovic in straight sets. A camera trained on Fuchsovic's fiancé in the stands, and main commentator John Inverdale didn't let the moment pass. That's Fuchsovic's fiancé. Her name is Annette Bozzormini, he said, for cracking an old joke.
Fine. I don't know how to pronounce that one.
If you're a tennis player, always good to have a partner called Annette. With that, Becker added, they do say they have the most beautiful women in Hungary. I wouldn't know that, but she's certainly very pretty. Stephanie Hilborn, chief executive of Women in Sport, was among a number of individuals in diversity-oriented groups to accuse Becker of objectification, the Telegraph reported. The charity Women in Sports worked for decades to change sporting culture, including to end the objectification of women, Hilborn told the Telegraph. When two men are comfortable talking about women in this way, and never mind on live TV, it shows there is still more to do. We need everyone to understand how this impacts on women and girls, how it makes them feel. Shouldn't we be inspiring the next generation of girls to play sport rather than talking about what women look like? And the outlet added Flo Williams, a Wales international rugby player who founded the Perception Agency, said that it's changing room chat rather than commentary chat. Straight away, it shows that commentary around women in sport can be so much around what they look like, whether they are playing or not. And the Telegraph said the BBC declined to issue criticism, but did say Boris Becker made a lighthearted comment that was not intended to cause offense.
Okay, so it wasn't Rafael Nadal at all, and I guess he's from Spain, not from South America. And Djokovic is, I guess, Hungarian. He's very, very good. Dragic Djokovic, I think, is his name. I don't know. I think that's how you say the first name. Very good player. But I want to make sure I understand. Here's the standard that we're living up to now. And Carrie, I want your thoughts on this as a woman, not as a news anchor.
Okay.
ESPN, every year, I think they still do it, does ESPN, the magazine, they do a naked sports stars edition. These people have the most beautiful athletic bodies you've ever seen. It's men, it's women. Let me ask you something. Why exactly do you think ESPN, the magazine, would choose these bodies to focus on as the bodies in sport that are going to be naked? Now, of course, they photograph them in such a way you don't see the parts you shouldn't see.
Well, because they're beautiful.
But they're naked. Right. So, let me ask you this. Are they objectifying these people because of their beautiful bodies?
I guess some could say that.
Yes, of course they are. They're showing their bodies as objects. They're not talking about their brains, not talking about their GPA. They're saying, holy crap, look at this body. And then you had Sports Illustrated, who I think did a trans person or something on the cover, and I think they've actually done some plus people as well. But generally speaking, they take beautiful bodied women and beautiful-faced women, and put them on the cover for the swimsuit edition. And inside, you've got pages and pages of the swimsuits. I mean, are they objectifying them, do you think?
Yes, they are.
Of course they are. And then you've got beautiful women in sports when they're not naked, like Maria Sharapova? I think that's how you pronounce it. I used to know tennis names better than now. I haven't watched any freaking sports in years. But Maria Sharapova is beautiful, and they used her for all she was worth in every ad campaign they could because they were objectifying her, not because she was the best tennis player, because she wasn't the best tennis player, to be honest with you. Yes, Polo. Comment?
I think you're thinking about Anna Kournikova.
Well, no. Maria Sharapova absolutely was used the same way, but Anna Kournikova is another great example. You're right about her, too. But Maria Sharapova maybe won a couple of tournaments. She wasn't the Williams sisters, for sure. But Anna Kournikova certainly was being used for that same reason. They're beautiful people. They play the game. Because of their beauty, they got more opportunities. Nobody ever said a word about it. But Boris Becker dares say She's very pretty. Carrie, that's all he said. He said, I want to get with that. He said, I like to have relations with that. He didn't say, I want to steal her away from him. He didn't say, oh, what a W word. I mean, he didn't say anything negative at all. His sin was saying she's very pretty. As a woman, please explain to me, are we in this society no longer allowed to say somebody's pretty?
I think we're getting there. I think it's very sad because I don't agree with it. And maybe that's me and my old school thinking. But if somebody calls you very pretty, I think that's a nice thing.
I don't understand.
What's wrong with that? What is
rarely
wrong with that?
Rarely in my life, rarely, I think it's happened 4 times, people have said I'm handsome.
Your mom?
I've never once thought, how dare you objectify me? How dare you? Who do you think you are? I'm not a piece of meat. I don't know. What are we doing? You can't flatter people? There's some women in sport freaking outlet that said, this is unbelievable. This woman isn't even in sport. She's the girlfriend. It's not like, you know, she was running around and he's like, hey, look at that skirt. I mean, she wasn't even playing. She's sitting there looking pretty. There I went and said it.
Stop objectifying her.
I am objectifying her. Mm. I mean, seriously, I've got 5 daughters and a wife. I can't tell anybody that they're pretty. I'm somehow objectifying them.
Isn't that crazy? This is where we are now. Yeah.
We've lost our place.
We've lost our minds.
BBC should not only say, oh, it's just a lighthearted comment. They should say, what are you, crazy? She's pretty, and he noticed it. He didn't say anything lewd or outlandish or sordid. He simply said, she's pretty. You must be high. Pass potatoes. That's what it should be. I need some commentary from those listening. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Did I miss that day in class when you're not allowed to say that pretty people are pretty? Is that what happened? Because I'm confounded. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hey, thanks a lot for stopping by. I appreciate you. The Joe Pags Show for your Thursday. Coach Gary Waters at the bottom of the hour. Interesting conversation. Because going in, you know, you get those notes about the book, and he's like, he's going to expose or make people understand systemic racism. I'm like, what? So I actually went there. I went there. We had a great conversation. I like mixing it up with people. I think he's a very cool guy. So we'll have him on in about 10 minutes. Make sure you stick around. It's a very good interview. Not because I'm in it, because he's in it. And make sure that you listen up for his book title. You're going to want to get this book. Let me go to Russell in San Antonio about not saying somebody's pretty or handsome because that somehow is offensive. Russell, what's happening? Hi.
Hello, Joe Pags. I just wondered how much money women spent last year on cosmetics not to look pretty.
Right. I mean, they can you imagine the women? It's billions and billions of dollars, by the way. Can you imagine them spending that kind of money, getting all gussied up, and nobody ever saying they're pretty?
That I don't get it. I mean, my wife hadn't been told that ever, but somebody else.
Oh, come on. What's the matter with you? You better tell her. Get off the phone, Russell. Come on, Carrie. What's that all about? I got to tell her. You've got to tell his wife that.
Russell. No.
Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Russell.
On your way home, get some flowers, too. Russ.
That's right. You better grovel when
sorry.
You get there.
Yes.
Exactly. It is. He's going to get home. I was listening to Pags today, Russell. Recognize your voice.
He's going to be in trouble.
He'll be like, honey, you're so pretty. Can I eat dinner now? Chris, Kansas City, talk to me. Hi.
Hey, yeah. So I work in a company that we had to take a class. We're global. We had to take a class that we can't refer to females as girls because it's not our decision to decide at what age they're not girls anymore. And I have anywhere from 18 to 80 coming in, you know, from a company that I work with that handles different vehicles. Their particular case, they have a lot of females who work for them. Every girl that comes in, I go, hey, what's up, girl? Hey, what's up, Chris? Because that's what we do. Well, nobody's no harm, no foul, you know. they got a nice dress on one day, or their uniform went from green to white. Hey, you got a uniform change. You know, we because that's the way things are supposed to be.
Right.
And it's crazy. Literally, we took a class to tell me I can't call a female a girl. I've got two daughters and three sisters. I mean, come on, where does it end? Yeah. Everybody knows Carrie's hot, and we tell her.
Oh my God! Really?
I knew it was coming.
Really? You know what I mean? I mean, just why the? Why?
Oh my goodness!
Why?
What do you mean why? Why?
Why?
Stop asking why.
Why?
Really?
Oh, I didn't say that you're not attractive. I just don't need some guy calling in to say it.
Oh, look at your eyes, Joe. Look at the muscles.
What am I supposed to do? Poke them out, Carrie? What am I supposed to do? Poke them out? What am I supposed to do? Not have? Look, God gave me all this. What do I supposed to do?
Okay. Oh, man. I'm sorry I brought that up.
Why did you bring it up with you? Why did you bring it up?
I don't know why.
What the hell is wrong with you? Why are you thinking?
I know.
And it'll say it to me. Look, if they're telling you that, that's on you. I can't help it.
No, I'm talking about when you post things on Facebook.
I can't dial it down. I'll even post on Facebook anymore. It gets a little bit, listen. Back off.
It's a little creepy, you know what I mean? For you? Yeah, I can understand.
We all know Carrie's hot. That whole freaking story was made up just so he could say that.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that.
Whatever. It was funny. I agree. Yeah. So anyway, what?
That's so rude.
What? But it's not rude at all. I just agreed with you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No. Okay. Let me go. Whether you're serious or not, it really is a thing. I mean, if you call a woman a girl, there are some women that will give you a really hard time, or some women's groups or women's support groups or whatever, that will say you can't do that. But I've heard more women say, girl, please. Girl, how you doing?
I was going to say,
hey, what's happening, girl?
I talked to some of my girlfriends like that. Hey, girl. Hey, what's going on? That's what we do. I don't think it was any big deal.
Well, you know why you said that?
Why?
Racist!
No. Obviously. And I don't see the connection, actually.
What? Well, I just wanted to press the button and say it.
Okay.
It is 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. That guy, seriously, that guy's a real Kerry fan to go through all that crap just to get to that garbage at the end. It was garbage. I mean, people would agree.
It wasn't garbage.
We
Stop.
All know Kerry's
Why?
Hot.
Why? Why?
Alan, Florida, what's going on? Hi.
Hi, PAGS. Yeah, my wife is actually from Russia, and I was thinking how mad she'd get if I called her a girl. And that's pretty hilarious. If I called her an ugly girl, I don't know how that would turn out. But the reason I was calling was to say that, of course, you can say the female's pretty. We need a study done to see why so many. I don't have a problem with ugly girls, but why it's always ugly women that are jealous of the pretty women. Like, so I need to know that author. I need to know exactly, like, see her picture so I can decide if she's just being jealous and vindictive or what if her, you know. What is her reason?
I'll get
that
picture to you, Alan. I appreciate that. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, is it not?
That's what we've been told, yes.
I mean, I don't generally call people ugly. I mean, their attitudes make them ugly, certainly. Their actions make them ugly, certainly. But, I mean, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Somebody thinks everybody's beautiful. I mean, every person, somebody finds them attractive. So, I mean, it's in the eye of the beholder that Boris Becker dared say, wow, she's very pretty. I don't understand why that's an issue. Why isn't that, like, pro-women? If he would have said, wow, she's kind of average. I mean, now I get the problem, you know? If he would have said, damn, she's kind of ugly.
She is ugly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right. I mean, that, now complain.
It's a nice
but
thing.
But he's actually in trouble for doing the nice thing.
I know. I'm telling you, it's a crazy world we're living in, and it's only getting worse because nobody's standing up and saying, hey, he didn't mean any offense by it. It's fine. She called her pretty. It's a compliment. Let it go.
Hey, Polo, when we do the podcast, can you take out that Carrie Hot part?
Polo, don't
just,
do
I'm
it.
I'm just asking,
don't
if
do
I'm
it.
Asking for
no.
a friend.
No.
I'm asking for
asking
a friend.
For a friend. No.
888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Coach Gary Waters when we come back. Good information, good conversation. Stay right here.
This is the Joe PAGS Show.
Come on. Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Really glad to have this guy on. He's the winningest coach ever in Cleveland State history. And, of course, a great coach elsewhere as well. It's Coach Gary Waters. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous. What about yourself, Joe?
I'm living the dream, my friend. So I'm a former athlete in high school, didn't make it to college. I was a catcher. I couldn't move very well, so they put me behind the plate, and I did that. But I know you haven't been a coach for a little while, but you're still coach, aren't you? You're always going to be coach, right?
Oh, you're going to always be that. And I coach every day, it seems.
No, I'm with you.
I watch the NBA games. I'm coaching every time I watch that.
Are you yelling at the screen, telling them how to do it? Pick and roll. What's going on?
You're exactly right.
You've got a book out. It's called The 10 Principles of a Character Coach, and I want to get into that full-throated. You and I just met. We don't know each other, and I don't want to get very political with you, but I want to hit something that your people sent me in the talking points. And for those who are watching and listening, I get talking points so that I know kind of what we're going to talk about in the interview. But one thing said that you're striving to get rid of systemic racism or to combat systemic racism. I'm a conservative guy. I don't believe there is systemic racism, but I want to learn from you because you're the coach, and obviously you believe that this is a thing. Could you tell me what the systemic racism is that we have to take care of and how we can then help people to become productive members of society who can really get opportunity to succeed?
Well, you know, first and foremost, they have to recognize what they are doing.
Yeah.
Or if they are doing anything at all. I think oftentimes we don't even realize we are doing certain things to certain people and acting in certain ways that, you know, it could be common daily movement for them.
Right.
But for others, it's a difficult situation. So right. The first thing I think they have to do is understand it. And then, you know, we say, should you accept it? Except that I must understand it. That's what I'm trying to say. I'll give you an example. Sure. One of the things I'm doing right now is I'm working with the police department and I'm doing character development workshops.
I love that.
Yes. And it's really good because I feel it's not as threatening as all the issues that are going on today. You know, you got people that are trying to have reforms, change and everything else. You know, I think police officers do a great job. And however, there are a few that don't do as well.
We agree.
So I want to give them information, just information. I can't change them. And, you know, in a 6-hour workshop, you can't change them.
Right.
But what you can do is give them information to look at themselves and see, am I doing it the right way?
Yeah, but Coach, you realize you're going to get canceled because of what you just said, right? That you actually want to work with police. You actually want to make sure police understand the community. The community understands the police. I mean, the fact is, what you're saying and what you want to do is the correct way to solve the problem. The solving the problem isn't defunding the police. Solving the problem isn't hating the police. Solving the problem isn't suggesting police are trying to kill somebody every day. Solving the problem is having the two meet and have the coach fix it. I mean, you realize you're in trouble for saying that, right?
Well, you know, you're gonna be, whatever you say, you're in trouble.
That's true.
It's coming from the heart, and I'm trying to make sure they understand that there is a problem. See, if you don't think there is a problem, then you continue to work the way you do on a constant basis.
Right.
But if there is a problem, you need to try to do things to help resolve the problem. And that's all I'm trying to do.
He's got a book. It's called 10 Principles of a Character Coach, coachwaters.com. Go to his website. So are we talking primarily about athletes who I think in many ways are coddled and aren't taught the real ways of the world, and then fame and fortune shows up and they don't know what the hell to do with it? Or are we talking about this book is going to be good for my 5 kids too, who aren't athletes?
Yes. Oh, it's all a brand of people. When you think about it, I mean, it's in business, for leaders, it's for parents to sit and explain to their children what type of principles you need to have as a quality human being.
Yeah.
And so these are the things I'm trying to bring forth.
It is Coach Gary Waters, coachwaters.com. Make sure you go there. Get his book as well. I saw Tom Izzo on your homepage, and I used to be a television news anchor in Lansing, Michigan for 5 years. I don't know Tom very well. I knew his wife a little bit better because she wasn't the coach, and she was at all the games, so I was the news guy. We certainly got to know each other a little bit. But he's a good guy. And he was offered the Atlanta, I believe he was offered the Atlanta Hawks job while I was the news anchor there. It was like $5 million a year, something like that. And he turned it down. And I thought about it. And a guy like him and a guy like you, doing the job on a professional level is different because you don't have these young minds to mold and help. the professionals are getting millions and millions of dollars. They've got agents and people in between them, and maybe reaching them isn't as easy. Is that why you stayed a college coach as well? I mean, you were unbelievably successful. I guarantee you could have gone to the pros, but is that why you stayed in the college level, because you knew that you could be more helpful to the actual players?
That's definitely it. You know, oftentimes we move in directions because they put it in front of us. And what do they put in front of us? It could be money. It could be fame. It could be whatever. And so, but when you're trying, when you're in there for a purpose, you know, when I came into the profession, my purpose for being a college coach, it wasn't wins and losses. It was primarily to change lives. And that's why I'm in it.
Isn't that something? Because most people would say, I just want the fame and fortune. I just want the success. I just want the trophy. I'm guessing you wanted the trophy too, but not at the expense of not teaching people how to go on and be productive members of society. The vast majority of college athletes are never going to make it to the pros, so you had to leave them with something. Do you stay in contact with the players?
Oh, all the time. You know, I just had a young man call me the other day, and he was telling me he just became a new head coach.
Oh, wow.
At a certain school, and we were talking about it in high school. And we were talking about it. I was congratulating him. And he said, you know, I'm going to do well. I said, why? He says, because I got your book. He says, and I've been using it already to help my coaches and players.
It is Coach Gary Waters. Go to coachwaters.com. 10 Principles of a Character Coach is the name of the book. I hope that you'll go and get it. Talk to me about a young mind in today's America. I'm 54. I don't know. You look like you're younger than I am. I don't know how old you are. But you know, we're growing up. We're growing up in a time where principles are a little bit wavering. I mean, are there principles that young people should be taught today that they're not taught today? And can you get through to them knowing that the media and academia and even big sports and big music and big Hollywood are affecting them a certain way? Can you still get through to them, hey, there are some principles, you have 10 of them, there are some characteristics and principles by which you should live to be successful and to be happy in this country?
Yes, there are. And but it's not easy. You need to know that. You know, I'm finishing my new book, and it's called Coaching Millennials from a Character Perspective. And the whole purpose is trying to teach them character issues and move them in those directions. And it's not easy, because the way they've been formulated and the things that they're doing in their lives go against some of the things we want to bring forth, because they think we're old school.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what happens in society today.
Well, we are old school, but that's old school wasn't so bad. You know, people keep on saying you got to think outside of the box. The box isn't so bad either. I mean, if you've got a general sense of what your principles are and what your goals are, you can probably achieve them. And when you run into a bad cop, which I believe is very rare, I think you think it's rare too. When you run into a bad cop, you know, comply, don't die, and then take them to court, sue them, and get back at them later. I mean, we're living in a society where people think that right now you must agree with me, and I don't care that you've got a badge and a gun. I don't care that you're a coach with a whistle. I don't care that you're a teacher or whatever, a parent. I know what I know because society has taught me what I should know. How do you break through that successfully?
Well, you know, it's not an easy process. That's what I want to make sure you know. And that's why I have a book like this, so they can look at it and they can look at themselves and say, you know, am I doing it the right way? And, you know, you're not, like I indicated earlier, you're not going to change them overnight.
Right.
It's got to be a gradual changing process, but they must have information in front of them. I think one of the biggest issues, they don't have information in front of them, and then they act on their own accord. So if you have that in front of you, you can say, oh, you know, this is one of the ways I can do it, so I can change things.
Right. CoachWaters.com, that's the website. 10 Principles of a Character Coach. I urge you to go and get it. When a young student would come in, a freshman, extremely talented, knew he could play ball, what was the one characteristic you saw that made you think, I've got to focus more on the person than the game right now with this one? Was there something that always presented itself?
That's, you know, one of the things I did when I looked at players when they came to our program, what type of heart did they have? You know, you can take in a kid that's got a few issues, but if their heart is against things,
right,
now you got a problem. So now you got to work with them even more so to get them just to accept what you're doing, because they don't believe in what you're doing. So I look at their heart. If they got a good heart, they can forgive. They can understand to do the right things. They're honest. Those type of things, then you say, okay, you got a good young man here, and you can work with him.
And that was a prerequisite.
Oh, it was a prerequisite. I didn't want guys that were really struggling with that. But even though, you know, they could have other issues in certain areas, could have an academic issue, could have be a selfish issue.
Yeah.
But when I brought them in and I checked their heart, if their heart was right, that means I could get to them and I can communicate with them. And once that happens, now you got a chance.
CoachWaters.com. Go to the website right now. Get his book. It's called 10 Principles of a Character Coach. When it comes to dealing with police and the community, we know that 80% of Americans don't want to defund the police. We know that 70% of African Americans don't want to defund the police. Those are facts. But the media keeps saying that we should, we have to, the police are this, police are that. What's the first thing you say to a police chief or a sheriff who says, yes, coach, come in, let's work together? What's the first thing you say that they probably didn't know about the relationship between the community, generally speaking, the black community, and police?
Well, one of the things I would tell them is that you got to get to know who you're working with.
Yeah.
So they don't know them, you know, and they don't know their background and they don't know their experiences. So it's hard for them to relate to what they're talking about. So I think you need to sit down and you get to talk and open up the air so each person can talk about themselves so they can get to know them and then they can learn to accept some of their issues.
What I love is that you're the example of the rule, right? I mean, you use these 10 principles in your life. I had Dr. Ben Carson on yesterday. He's a perfect example as well that you can succeed in America. It doesn't matter what your ancestry is if you have your head on right. So how did you use these tools that you now put in the book that I want everybody to go and get? How did you use them to become the man you are today? Because I've only talked to you for 10 minutes. I've already learned from you.
Well, to give you this, Joe, you know, what I try to do is live them. See, you can write all these principles down and you can say, well, this is who I am. But now your actions have to respond to what you have written down. So every day I try to do something that shows the type of person I am. Let me give you an example. I would go into players' homes and the one thing I would tell them is, and their parents, I can be a role model. And the parents would look at me and say, what the heck is going on? That's why we got you as the coach.
Right.
And I said, no, I can't be their role model. Their role model has to be you, the parent. They have to be able to look at you and understand that you are playing the ultimate role for them to be successful in life. But I said, myself, I can do something else for them. I can be an example how I live my life. And when you look at the way I live my life and you compare it to what your parents are talking about, then it all fits together.
That makes perfect sense. I love it. It's 10 Principles of a Character Coach, CoachWaters.com. We just scratched the surface. Do me a favor. Let's stay in contact when the next book comes out and even before the next book coming out, because I know that the community wants to have a good relationship with the police. I know police want to have a good relationship with the community. And I know that every American should have equal opportunity to succeed as long as their principles are right. And I think this is a great way to kick it off. I talk about this all the time on my show, but I would love to have you on often. Can we do that?
Yes, we can, Joe. Can I mention one last thing?
Absolutely.
One of the things I am trying to do with this, and even the workshops you're talking about, is I'm trying to give people information. And this information, I want them to be able to use. And if they use it properly, now they can help their lives. And I don't mean just as, you know, we're talking about police officers on the job. Let's talk about you being a husband, being in a relationship.
Yes.
All these things, if the character's right and you're treating people right, then right things will happen for you.
It goes to heart, it goes to character, it goes to principles. I think you're 100% right. The name of the book is 10 Principles of a Character Coach. Go to CoachWaters.com, W-A-T-E-R-S, not two T's. Some would put two T's in there. Coach Waters, I appreciate your time. Let's do it again very soon, my friend. Thank you.
I would love to, Joe, and it's been great talking with you.
All right, my man. We'll talk soon. We're back after this. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
I appreciate you stopping by. Thanks a lot. Lots going on. Really appreciate having the coach on, Coach Gary Waters. Go to CoachWaters.com and find out more about that book. Get it. I love that he's bringing people together. I didn't understand the systemic racism thing that was in the notes for the interview. I think somebody working with him probably put that in there because they thought it would catch our eye or something. But I didn't hear any of that at all. What I heard was a guy trying to bring people together and trying to set people up with the principles and foundation for being a productive member of society. And it was really, really great talking to the coach. I had not met him before, and it was really good to have him on. We'll have him on again, I promise you that. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Certainly want to hear from you. Make sure that you take the time. I'd love to hear from you. You know, your thoughts on Here's somebody who is coaching people. I think as a coach in a big time program, you probably have two choices. One, you can only go for the trophy and not really worry about the characteristics of the person. Or two, you could find out who has heart and who has character and help build them for a very, very positive future. I think that he did the second thing, and I love that. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. The Federal Reserve, printing money like crazy, putting your financial future in jeopardy. You've got to protect yourself, your savings, your family. So buy gold and silver. You can buy it right now from Universal Coin and Bullion, a leader in the precious metals industry. It's your answer to finding gold and silver at reasonable prices. The company CEO, Dr. Mike Fulgens, and I had a great conversation a couple of weeks ago. He's voted the 2021 Dealer of the Year by his peers. He searched the country and found the precious metals you need during this trying time. UCB has authentic silver and gold in stock right now. And I mean, this is great stuff. Talking about popular silver flag bars, pure silver round celebrating the Second Amendment, and many, many more. So give my friends at Universal Coin and Bullion a call today. 1-800-UCB-GOLD. 1-800-UCB-GOLD. Talk to their experienced sales team. Buy high-quality silver or gold and protect yourself and your family against the coming inflationary crisis. Universal Coin cares about your financial health, so get with them right now. 1-800-UCB-GOLD. 1-800-UCB-GOLD. Tell them that I sent you. All right, Carrie, you sent me a story about poop.
I did.
Is that what this is? I've got like a minute or maybe even 2 minutes. What do you have for me?
Okay, from our iHeart OAI station, a woman in Oklahoma woke up to a disgusting surprise last month. I woke up to go to the restroom. I stepped down, and it's right here on my legs, Francine McCullough told KFOR. McCullough stepped in 4 inches of feces that flooded the floor of her Garden Square apartment in Oklahoma City. Her toilet erupted with human waste and sewer water in the middle of the night and ruined all of her furniture and most of her belongings. Her neighbor also had sewage in her house. Now, the two renters just want a poop-free home to live in and someone to pay for the ruined items. Garden Square says it'll move 2 women to new units this week, but they're responsible for replacing their furniture and wrecked property. A similar issue happened to a Texas woman earlier this year when she woke up to blood dripping from her bedroom ceiling.
What on earth is going on?
I know. Can you imagine waking up and stepping in that?
You say 4 inches or 4 feet?
4 inches. But still, but they're
that's
responsible
not bad. 4 inches
for
isn't bad.
No, it is bad. It is bad. And they're responsible for replacing their furniture. How is that? I don't understand that. That apartment or somebody should be, whoever responsible for that sewage backup should be paying for this.
Did you have to use the word exploded?
Oh,
out of the toilet? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
poop
that's
everywhere.
Nasty.
Yeah,
that's the one thing. Because there are two things. Like, you know, if you pick up like dog poop or something, if it touches your hand, getting that smell off is a problem.
Yeah,
it's almost like gasoline. You can't get the smell. I know it's got to be
in the carpet.
How did she wash herself?
I don't know. I don't know. But I saw that story and I thought about you. So good.
Why do you think you're funny lady today? Why do you think you're funny lady today?
Number two. I don't know. I'm sorry.
You said, look at that story. I thought you thought he's number two. Let me give it to him.
No, that's not what I said.
Seriously, you're not a very nice person. I've been very nice to you for many years.
I'm just kidding.
888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Go to joepags.com right now. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots going on, lots to get to. Appreciate you being here. Bottom of this hour is going to be campus reform. I love these young reporters who come on and just tell the truth. This kid. I have such hair envy. This guy has so much hair.
Really? Okay.
I'm pretty sure I started the interview by saying, give me that hair. And I think he was a little like, what?
What?
You know what I mean? Like, I thought we were doing an interview. give me your hair. I don't care. Give me it. So we've got him at the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stick around. He's got some incredible stories from campuses that'll make you go nuts. I don't understand. We keep hearing stories out of Notre Dame, which last I checked is a Catholic university. They got gay and lesbian clubs, and now I guess a student government leader has to step down, or they're calling for his ouster because he dared say something about being Christian. It's all very weird. We're going to have that and much more at the bottom of the hour on your Thursday. I'm feeling all right. Uh-huh.
Seems I got to have a change.
You betcha.
Cause every night I have the strength.
That is Chocolate Voice. Good to see you, Carrie, as always.
Thank you.
Polo getting it done.
Used to be,
yeah. Sam in the house. Looking pretty as a button. Oh, can I say pretty or not?
I'm suing.
That's what I would do.
I got to leave before I start to
pretty
scream.
As a button.
Thursday, almost Friday. What's that?
What does that really mean?
Somebody locked the door and took the key.
I didn't hear what you said. What did you say?
I said pretty as a button. Now, what does that mean?
Why can't I say that? I made her. I can say anything I want about her.
No.
I created her life.
Hmm. Yeah, you did, yes.
All by myself.
No, you did not.
Maybe not. Maybe no. I had a little bit of help.
No, a little bit.
Baby. It was a rough 9 months for me. What?
That's funny. That's funny. That's really, really funny.
I kid. She knows I kid. Just one of those things, man.
Baby, you sure took me on.
And as much as I like bringing the campus reform people on, are we solving it? I think informing people, information is power. We say that all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But are we solving it? It's not like there are fewer of these stories now, right?
I know. They're every day. You can find these stories out there every day.
Like campus reform is not going out of business.
Yeah, I know.
They're going to be around a while because they keep on doing this. They keep on trying this. And then we've got lawmakers who are saying some of the dumbest things. Not even dumb. They're just anti-American. It never ceases to amaze me. Rashida Tlaib, who is a U.S. representative from Michigan, will say the most anti-America, anti-Israel, pro-Palestine slash Hamas slash terrorist thing that she can possibly say, and she keeps getting away with it. It's very, very weird to me that this person gets to keep on doing it. She's on some freaking podcast the other day and decides to go full, let's just defund everything. I kid you not, here you go.
Look, the simple answer to that question is we must eliminate funding for CPB, ICE, and their parent organization, DHS. Time after time, we have seen it as advocates on the ground, as Human Services Agency on the ground, to continue to see over and over again that these agencies are inept to humanely guiding migrants through our immigration system and further continue to terrorize migrant communities located within our communities.
They're terrorizing migrant communities, Carrie. So let me just see if I understand. Rashida Tlaib, who is an elected official for the United States House of Representatives, Rashida Tlaib wants to defund Border Patrol, CBP, wants to defund ICE, which is the Immigration Customs Enforcement, and wants to defund its parent department, the DHS, Department of Homeland Security. Of course, she wants to do this. Just about 2 months before the 20th anniversary of 9/11. There was no Department of Homeland Security before 9/11. Department of Homeland Security was put in place by then President George W. Bush to make sure that intelligence agencies spoke to each other, that information and intelligence was shared among the groups, that the FBI was talking to the NSA, was talking to the CIA, was talking to whomever, and there would be this sort of overlording organization that would make sure the information was fresh, new, shared, and acted upon. Rashida Tlaib thinks that the climate is such, the political climate is such, the woke climate is such, that people don't know what DHS is, and we can get rid of DHS. Again, the Department of Homeland Security, that keeps us safe from primarily what? Terrorists. It was only put in place to defend and guard the homeland. The Department, oddly, of Homeland Security. Wow. To secure the homeland. Now, I think CBP and ICE can act without being under the umbrella of DHS. And she can complain about defund this, defund that. I don't know why she wants people just to willy-nilly cross the border and suddenly be Americans and be able to vote tomorrow. Ta-da, I'm here, I'm an American. No. But it really does bother me. And it bothers me in this context that she's pro-Hamas, which is a terrorist organization. It bothers me that she wants the Department of Homeland Security put in place to defend us from terrorists. She wants that to be defunded. Let me play you this soundbite again. Those who are watching, you'll be able to see it.
Look, the simple answer to that question is we must eliminate funding for CPB, ICE, and their parent organization, DHS. Time after time, we have seen it as advocates on the ground, as Human Services Agency on the ground, to continue to see over and over again that these agencies are inept to humanely guiding migrants through our immigration system, and further continue to terrorize migrant communities located within our communities.
She used the word terrorize. Terrorize. A pro-terrorist, pro-Hamas member of our, I don't know how she said in the House of Representatives. Listen, Michigan, I love you. I love you, Great Lakes State. What the hell is wrong with you? Here's somebody saying now defund ICE, defund CBP. So in other words, no guarding of the border at all, no sovereignty at all, no lines that say this is where we start and you start or we end or you start. No, none of that. But not only that's not enough. Let's get rid of the organization that was created to keep us safe from terrorists. I kid you not. That's what she wants. And I want your thoughts on it. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Carrie, you're the news person. Did I misrepresent at all what she just said?
No, you did not.
Now, here's somebody who literally is saying, I would like to defund, eliminate the Department of Homeland Security. That, I mean, if this, there's actual truth in advertising for this one. Like the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, was not. The rescue plan wasn't. You know, the left, generally speaking, lies about what these laws and bills and acts and all this stuff, what they are. But this one really is the department that defends the homeland. It's the Homeland Security Department. And she not only said it, it's not like she went, psst, AOC, between you and me, I'd like to defend that department. No, no. She said it on a freaking podcast, on a video, a vodcast, that is going to be seen by millions. And she had no qualms. She had no hesitation to say it because she believes that, she must believe, that the majority of Americans agree with her. Of course we don't. I would bet 95% of Americans want our homeland to be secure. She's part of the 5%, but she's so elite. She thinks that she's the queen that she thinks that more people agree with her. And by the way, this is the same radical Rashida Tlaib that showed up at a Trump rally in like 15 or 16 and acted the fool and had to be escorted out. She somehow has been elected to the House of Representatives. Your thoughts, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. When we come back, stay here.
Joe Pags. We'll be right back.
appreciate you stopping by. It'll be campus reform at the bottom of the hour. Your thoughts about a sitting member of Congress, a U.S. representative from the great state of Michigan, Rashida Tlaib, saying we should defund, take away any money for, any funding for the Border Patrol, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the Department of Homeland Security. I want to know your thoughts on this. Because at the end of the day, what you have is a situation where somebody's literally saying, I don't want there to be a department that protects our homeland. It's mind-boggling. It actually hurts my brain to think that there's somebody who can even, not even be just considered an American, and she is, she's an American, but somebody who is literally helping to craft laws and is in the chamber that holds the purse strings, that pays for things, who has this ideology. There's a level of hatred from her, from AOC, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley. There's a level of hatred for our country. And then I throw in Cori Bush, throw in Maxine Waters, because of some of the things she does, also Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. I mean, you've got people who literally hate the country and want it to be something different. You know, I wish that some reporter would, I don't care if you're a lefty reporter or righty reporter, hey, Representative Tlaib, you said we should defund the Border Patrol, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the Department of Homeland Security. How would we then keep the homeland secure? Why isn't that question being asked? Why is that radical for me to even ask it? I know there's some stupid people out there right now going, racist! Because Tlaib is mixed race or whatever she is. I don't care what her race is. That doesn't bother me. Yeah, her race is completely out of this conversation. What she said is anti-country, anti-security, anti-safety, anti-border. And it doesn't make sense to me. Let me go to the phone lines. It's going to be Robert in New Braunfels. Robert, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Pegs.
Hey.
You know, you're from Michigan, and you got ties to Michigan. I'm from Michigan, and you know darn well that how she got into office was there's over 400,000 people of Arab descent in the Detroit greater metropolitan area. And so she's voted in to represent what those people think, and her ideology should not be accepted by anybody in this country, and especially our government.
Without a doubt, she was I wasn't baptized. I'll explain that in a second. But without a doubt, Rashida Tlaib was elected because she comes from a part of Michigan that has an overabundance of those who came from the Middle East and those who are Muslim. And she is Muslim. So Rashida Tlaib is somebody who was elected because of her faith. It has nothing to do with who she is. And she says the right things for people in that area to vote for her. I mean, I would think that Michiganders should go into that area, and it should be a more diverse look in that area, religious-wise and every other way, and not just allow a block of voters to say, we want a different religious and theocratical outlook to be represented in Congress. Because if you follow fundamental Islam, this is truth, and nobody can deny this, it runs against the Constitution. The Constitution and fundamental Islam, Islam as a religion and a government, cannot coexist. So she doesn't talk about her faith that much, but everything she says equals that radical, fundamental version of that ideology. And Robert, I appreciate you. Let me make sure that there's nothing missed here. Fundamental Islam, according to the Quran, if you read it word for word and read it as truth, if in the hadith, if you believe in those things, they are anti-constitutional freedoms. They literally see women as 50% of men in many cases. They literally, the teachings say that the man can beat his wife on certain occasions if he'd like. There are fundamental areas of the religion by the book, by the Hadith, by the Quran, that are completely the antithesis of freedom, liberty, and the constitutional way. The Bill of Rights could not exist in an Islamic country that is Islamic law, like Saudi Arabia. It just can't. So when Rashida Tlaib says things like, She supports Palestine. She's supporting the government of Palestine. That's Hamas. Hamas is a fundamentalist, radical Islamic organization that she is siding with over Israel. And then suddenly she wants to defund the department of our administration or of our government that secures our border. And she wants the border people who guard the border to be defunded and removed. I mean, can we just be honest and ask her a simple question? How would we keep our country secure if you got rid of the Department of Homeland Security? And I want her to answer. It's not asking much, just answer the question. But no, as far as my being baptized, I'm from New York originally. I was baptized in New York. At 7 years old, we moved to South Florida, where I lived for 21 years, something like that. Met my wife, had a couple of kids, went to Michigan. We lived in Michigan for 8 years. So I spent a lot of time in Michigan, but I was not born and raised there. Then we've been here in Texas now for 16 years. So I never have a problem talking about what the history is, but I think sometimes people hear it a little bit differently. Somebody wrote me an email the other day, something about, you know, you're from Michigan, go back or something. I'm not from Michigan, but I'm an American and I feel free to go to any city, any state that I want to go to. And I'm not sure why people have to claim ownership. All of America that's listening can claim that you own me, okay? You can claim ownership of my show and of me. And we don't have to make it about Michigan or Florida or New York or whatever or Texas. Edward, Texas, talk to me. Hi.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Whenever you say, you know, nobody can claim ownership of Michigan, you know, you got a lot of folks waving flags of other countries, ISIS in particular, and then burning the United States flag in Dearborn, Michigan.
I've seen those videos and I've seen those pictures. I wouldn't say it's a lot of people, but without a doubt, it's happened. Go ahead.
No, it's just, I mean, you got to consider the source also, Joe. I mean, why would this person who supports Palestine want the borders open? Do you know who they're catching at the border? It's not only folks from Mexico and Central America, Joe.
No, they're catching everybody. I think it's from 130 countries, something like that at last count, something like that.
Exactly.
And a lot of them, you got Chinese coming through, you've got Pakistani coming through, Afghani coming through. You've got a lot of people coming through, without a doubt. I bro, appreciate you, Edward. Thank you. Open line now, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. I think that he was just reiterating what I was saying, but either way, let me go back at it. Dave, I've got probably a minute and a half for you. Make it happen. Come on in Denver.
Oh, I can do that easy. Your listeners might not be aware, because I don't think you've touched on it, that DHS's funding also includes FEMA. And I don't know that the folks in New Orleans, mostly Democrat, would be terribly excited if FEMA didn't exist for the next hurricane. And secondly, Joe Biden might be really unhappy if the DHS budget were defunded, because he wouldn't have the U.S. Secret Service.
Well, yeah, that would be a problem if the Secret Service went away. I thought Secret Service was in the Treasury Department. Did they move it to the DHS?
Yeah, it all moved over to DHS.
Very interesting. All right, I appreciate that. It was always Treasury. Carrie, can you look that up and see if DHS is still in Treasury? If they moved if Secret Service is still in Treasury?
Yeah.
They moved to DHS. I don't disbelieve the guy, but I always trust and verify, if that's okay. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. The bottom line is this. You've got people in Congress who literally hate the country. They hate our best friend in the Middle East. And she says stupid things like no border patrol, no protection on the border, no ICE, no DHS. And it just begs simple journalistic questions would be, how do you secure the country? Why do you want to get rid of the department that is directly in charge of securing our border? Do you have it? Are they DHS now?
Yeah, it is under the Department of Homeland Security. Yep.
I wonder when that happened. I
mean, I'm glad 2003, that he was right. The Secret Service, until 2003, the Secret Service was part of the Department of the Treasury.
Interesting. Wow, almost 20 years. Where the hell have I been? I've been dealing with you.
Hey, don't blame that on me.
That's the problem. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Campus reform when we come back. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. You know, really always glad to have back a wonderful correspondent, a young person who's out there doing real journalism from campusreform.org. Today it's going to be Brendan Chafin. Brendan, how are you? Good to meet you.
I'm great. How are you? It's nice to meet you.
I'm doing very well. I appreciate you coming on. Those who are watching realize how much I envy that hair on your head. Holy mackerel, it's a full head of hair. You got to love that, no? I mean, it's just awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely a blessing and a curse.
Well, I'll bet. I mean, when you wake up, it's got to be just absolutely nuts. But I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, it's crazy. It has a mind of its own, Joe, I tell you.
Well, I used to have hair like that, so I get it. Not any longer. All right, let's get into who you are. So you work with campusreform.org, Leadership Institute's campusreform.org. You guys are always uncovering nuttiness on campus. Where do you go to school? What year are you in?
I go to Western Carolina University in North Carolina, and I'm currently a sophomore there. And I'm also interning here at Campus Reform.
Nice. And now, I'm not familiar with the laws of North Carolina. They tend to be a little bit more red than, say, New York or California. But have you guys been open for a while? Can you go to school without the mask on? Are you even going to school, or are you still doing it over the internet?
Yeah, so good question. My campus, actually, we're a public campus, but we're definitely one of the more conservative ones. Our school was pretty open most of the year. We had pretty much all in-person classes for the most part. You just had to wear a mask in class, which still sucks. But in North Carolina, it's kind of weird at some schools. But my school, things were decently normal, I would say, in comparison with others.
Was there ever a time where you weren't allowed to go to class and you had to do it over the internet or not?
Yeah, I think I had two classes where they were all online, but it was nothing major.
Yeah, for me, and I remember college, it's a long time ago now, but when I went to college, I wanted to see, you know, the pretty girl. I wanted to see my best friends. I wanted to talk to the teacher and have that one-on-one, you know, face-to-face with a professor. I was a music major, so, I mean, you also had to have hands-on with the piano when you're doing theory, or play the saxophone and have a teacher actually say this, that, and the other. I can't imagine doing it online. I mean, did that get really, really... a lot of people suffer from depression. I'm not suggesting that you did, but did it become very... sort of alone? I mean, you're so separated from everybody. It must have been a real relief to go back to class, no?
Yeah. So it was pretty lonesome sometimes, I do have to admit. But one of the biggest things was definitely classes online. I had to take physics online, which was, I'll tell you, it was probably one of the worst things I've ever done. I regret doing it. Luckily, I made it through. But yeah, online classes definitely have their pretty harsh negative sides.
Brendan, I appreciate you coming on. Of course, another young correspondent from campusreform.org. They uncover nuttiness on campus all the time. For me, Notre Dame University was always, I don't know, a Catholic university. I don't think that's changed. And Catholic universities follow the Catholic religious beliefs, which are they're against abortion. They are against gay relations. They're for a man and a woman having a child and getting married and having a child and so on. I mean, these are pretty simple tenets of almost all Christianity. So why would a Catholic university now, I mean, this sounds crazy, but why would they have an alumni rainbow group or coalition or community? What even is that?
Well, the group technically is just, it's an alumni group. So people who graduate are part of it, and they help out the other LGBTQ plus ally groups on campus. They give them funding. They help allocate funding to certain programs. And you're right. It's totally against the Catholic teachings. And it just shows you how far the progressive left has gone to really just dilute and taint our religious institutions, even at the highest level at somewhere like Notre Dame, which, like you said is a very notorious Catholic school.
What I don't understand is why they felt they had to do this. I mean, if they want to stop being a Catholic school, fine, do that. Disconnect from the Catholic Church, become some other run-of-the-mill university, and do whatever you want to do. But why is it that they couldn't stick to the tenets of that religion? I mean, was there a push through your reporting on this and checking this out? Was there a push by somebody, some organization, some entity to say, hey, you can't be Catholic, or if you're going to be Catholic, you still have to accept some things that you think are sins?
Yeah, so there was a push from the already established gay and lesbian club on campus. It was called Gala for short. But they said it wasn't broad enough, it wasn't inclusive enough. So they really expanded the alumni group to all members of the LGBTQ community, which is, it's just nuts. I mean, if you're a Catholic institution, then you need to be teaching Catholic thoughts. You need to be teaching the actual Catholic faith.
Right.
And it's just a total disservice to Christianity as a whole to not do that.
Brendan Chafin from campusreform.org. It's very odd to me. I didn't even know that there was a gay and lesbian group on campus at a, again, Catholic university, a Christian university. Very, very odd to me. Okay, it turns out grammar is racist. And I had no idea, but if you speak correct grammar or if you try to teach correct grammar, you somehow are racist. Who exactly is that we're racist against if we want grammar to be correct?
Well, apparently at Towson University, it's the case that if you do use proper grammar, you're racist. They just recently held what they called an anti-racist symposium, where basically a large group of professors from across the country came, congregated together, and went over and discussed curriculums, programs, and even grammar that's considered racist. And in their minds, they want to think that grammar is used to hold down the Black community as a sort of master type language, because they want to separate white language between Black language and use both. So wow. In their minds, they see it as white people holding down Black people with it. But it's absolutely crazy, Joe, because I'll tell you, grammar is grammar. They don't care. It doesn't care about your race, ethnicity, what you look like, or what you believe in. It's just grammar.
I think grammar is racist just to say that. Now, what? How old are you?
I'm 19.
All right. So you weren't even born in 1996 when I did an interview with a teacher from, I believe, Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo, Michigan. She came on the TV. I was a TV news anchor. And we were talking about Ebonics, because Ebonics was the big thing. Have you ever heard the term Ebonics?
No, sir, I haven't.
Okay, Ebonics is the mix of ebony and phonics. It's actually what was being called Black English back in the day. And I had a professor on, she happened to be Black, and just asking her to explain what it was. And it wasn't that we were getting rid of traditional proper grammar. It was the usage of what was being called Ebonics that young Black people were learning growing up in their neighborhoods, using that and then helping them learn traditional correct grammar so they could succeed in life. So using Ebonics in the classroom made sense. I think it started in Oakland, California. They used that sort of tool to say, okay, you're saying this, here's the proper way to say it so you can succeed in society. It sounds like you're saying people in college are insisting that we accept broken or incorrect grammar, because if we teach correct grammar, we somehow are white supremacists. Am I hearing you right?
Yeah, I would say that's correct. That's definitely what they're pushing for. And I think it's just what needs to happen is a larger call to conservatives in education so we're not pushing these crazy narratives. Because, like I said, grammar is grammar. You don't need to be saying that it's racist. The more we define things as racist, the less value the term has, because there are horrible racist people out there. And when you diminish the value by calling everything racist, it really takes away from the people that are racist. So it's a terrible thing, Joe.
And by the way, I want everybody of every race and every ancestry to succeed in this country, receiving equal opportunity. You can't set somebody up for success if you tell them, speak bad English, don't worry about it. You just can't.
Yeah, exactly.
It is Brendan Chafin. He's a young correspondent from campusreform.org. We appreciate him coming on. Appreciate the time. Yeah, just to end that story, that item, you're right. If everything's racist, nothing is racist. And then true racism gets away with it. And we should stop that because it's dumb. Let's talk about the student government president who dared post something religious on his social media. And now there are calls for his ouster. What's going on here?
Yeah, so at Northern Alabama University, a public institution, I'll remind you, that our taxpayer dollars go to if you do live within the state.
Right.
The SGA president there recently came under fire for wearing a shirt with a rainbow that says, born this way, you need to be born again, in reference to, you know, Christians believing that homosexuality is wrong.
Right.
And as soon as he posted that on Instagram, he immediately came under fire. People were calling for his resignation to the point to where they started a change.org petition. And that petition has actually garnished over 1,100 signatures, to where the SGA government has now gone under formal impeachment hearings and proceedings for the president.
But what would the impeachment entail? What was the sin that he said? He used his First Amendment, did not call for violence or anything else against anybody, didn't break any laws. He simply said, born this way, you should find Jesus or whatever. What's wrong with that? I thought that was covered by two subsections of the First Amendment, his religious freedom and his freedom to speak. What did he do wrong?
He did absolutely nothing wrong. And the argument that they're trying to make is the LGBTQ students on campus feel like they're somehow under attack for an Instagram post. And I'll tell you, it's absolutely crazy that colleges are now turning into something that they weren't made to be. Colleges used to be made for somewhere you'd go to where you have free-flowing conversation, ideas, debate, right, and even conflict to a certain extent. But you can't disagree without someone now about being called homophobic or racist just because you're a Christian or a conservative. I mean, if you just take into effect conservatives across the country, there was recently a conservative senator at Florida State University. He was a student government senator, and he got impeached because of his Catholic views going against the BLM movement. And then he, luckily, he got reinstated, but it just shows you how far they're willing to go with people that disagree with them.
Yet people can literally fly the flag of ISIS on campus. People can literally hold up a sign saying, free Palestine. They could do anything they want as long as it's left wing. They can say Antifa rocks, and nobody's getting kicked off of any student government panels. That's perfectly fine. Don't they realize how one-sided they're being and how stupid they're being, that it's a much better experience in college or in life if we share ideas and then maybe argue about them a little bit, but to completely cancel somebody because they said something that you didn't like, isn't that anti what we thought we were getting in education?
Yeah, it's definitely anti, and they know what they're doing. And I tell you what, the founding fathers would be rolling in their graves right now if they found out that the First Amendment's not even being protected or even valued at our educational institutions across the country. It's just it's a terrible crime that's being committed on conservative students right now, to where, from personal experience, I can tell you, I can't even go out without speaking my conservative beliefs without my Turning Point posters being trashed or my buttons being thrown or being called terrible names.
It's incredible to me, because I know individually, if you talk to students who believe that they know what fact is, if you tell them the other side, they're usually open on an individual basis. But once you get mob mentality and mob rule, then they all get in line. Nobody wants to be called a homophobe. Nobody wants to be called a racist. Nobody wants to be called a misogynist. Nobody wants to be called anti-trans or whatever, or transphobic, I guess is the term. And that's really what it is. It's about groupthink and shutting down any sort of real conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great form of tribalism is what it is. They want to resort to us being just put into tribes where it's one tribe versus the other, instead of everyone seeing each other as individuals and as human beings where I can just sit down and talk to you. Because I'll tell you what, if they would actually just sit down and talk with us, even if they sat down with that president who they're trying to impeach, I guarantee you they'd find they probably have more in common than they don't have not in common.
I got you. It's Brendan Chafin. He is a young reporter from campusreform.org. Go to that website every day like I do and check out the dynamite reporting these young people do. I appreciate you, brother. Let's do it again, okay?
Yep, thank you so much.
All right, my man. We're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Hey, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Appreciate you. Always appreciate the young reporters coming on from campusreform.org. So, Carrie, as you know, I put the show up on Twitch. That's why we're all on camera. That's where we all talk about stuff. Mm-hmm. We're on Twitch live even right now as we speak.
Yep.
And we've got a really nice following. The following came from my radio show. These are people that, generally speaking, did not go to Twitch ever. So we're bringing eyeballs. We're bringing, you know, people who are partaking content and seeing the ads on Twitch to Twitch that weren't there before. Sam made me some emotes. An emote is a little picture where you could put up, like, she did a stupid, like, stupid. She put that emote up there, right? Mm-hmm. So people can just spam the channel with that. And also my face is on there. Your face is on there. The Joe Pags logo is on there. The Pags Peeps thing is on there. You could just use those and spread those around, right?
Yeah.
Say it again.
I said, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. So, I mean, people can partake. And again, these are people, generally speaking, who would not have gone to Twitch before. It's a gaming website. It's a website that literally allows girls with string bikinis on to float around on an inflatable in a hot tub with 13 or 14,000 little kids watching them do it.
Mm-hmm.
They just removed an emote from my channel that was just racist. It was racist. It was that.
What was it?
Started small and got really large. It just said racist. That's all it said. They removed the emote from my channel, and they sent me an email. Based on a review of its content, we have removed your emote, racist, from Twitch. The reason why the disallowed content, targeted insults, bullying, or threatening or inciting abuse. What?
Huh.
Now, you and I both know why I say racist. It's because when people keep saying something's racist and it's not, they keep yelling racist, and I say racist.
Yes, yeah.
And Sam made the emote from the R starts small, then it goes all the way big for racist, just to emote that thing that I say in the channel. That's all it was. I didn't call anybody a racist. Mm-hmm. We weren't abusing it or bullying people. If Twitch took a second, came to the channel,
and
realized how we use it and with the content. No, I think that they did come to the channel.
Yep.
And I think that they now understand that I'm on there, and they've got a problem with me being on there.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Oh, don't tell me Pickett Cheek is gone too, is it? No, it's still there. People are like, they couldn't do Pickett Cheek. I'm like, no way. But anyway, so Twitch definitely has been monitoring. They've been cutting down the amount of audience that we get, and whatever. It's their website. I'm not here to say that you can't do that, but don't act like I did something I didn't do. Nobody was attacked. No violence was put out. Nobody was going after anybody. It's just a part of my show that I do. And they didn't take the time to find out what the emote's about, mm-hmm. or they decided we're going to start really limiting this guy because we don't really want him on this format. Keep in mind, they want scantily clad bikini girls to float around in inflatables in hot tubs. But God forbid they should have a nationally syndicated talk show host that has a pretty good following to come to the channel. That's really stupid. All right, rant over. Let me tell you about UCB. UCB is awesome. This is a company that is going to help you with your future and your financial future, seeing what's going on in our economy right now. You've got the Federal Reserve printing money like crazy. That's hurting paper money. You've got to get coin and bullion from Universal Coin and Bullion. I'm talking about gold and silver from Dr. Mike Fulgens. By the way, he was voted the 2021 Dealer of the Year by his peers. He has searched the entire country to make sure that he finds precious metals that you need during this trying time. Give my friends at Universal Coin and Bullion a call at 1-800-UCB-GOLD, 1-800-UCB-GOLD. Talk to their experienced sales team to buy high-quality silver or gold and protect yourself and your family against the coming inflationary crisis. Universal Coin cares about your financial future. You should, too. I'm sure you do. But if you haven't taken this action yet, not sure that you've really thought it out. So call them right now. 1-800-UCB-GOLD. 1-800-UCB-GOLD to buy gold and silver. Do it right this second. 1-800-UCB-GOLD. Pop culture. Boop! Dirty pop. Hi, Paula. What's going on?
So I guess a little earlier today, Japan's prime minister declared a state of emergency in Tokyo after, I guess, there's been people in that area showing, I guess, a spike in the coronavirus cases. So what they're going to do is they're not going to allow fans to be in the, I guess, the stadium for the Olympics are going to happen in Tokyo.
What?
Yeah.
Come on, going to be empty stadiums for the Olympics. We're going to have a bunch of woke Americans at the Olympics. Paul, is there a reason to watch the Olympics?
Not really, but I mean, that's the only way they're saying that they could let it continue is to not have any spectators.
Wow. Yeah. Carrie, you going to watch the Olympics?
Not sure. Maybe a little
Sam?
Bit.
No.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be watching. Paul, you going to watch?
Probably not.
All right, got to go. See you tomorrow. Bye.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.